In an effort to better understand how offshoring to China works, I sat down in Beijing with Jack Perkowski of Asimco, a pioneer in this form of collaboration. When I first started back in 1992-1993, everyone thought the hard part was to actually find and gain access to opportunities in China, recalled Perkowski. As Perkowski put it, the easy part was setting up shop in China. The hard part was getting the right local managers who could run the store. We began looking for a new breed of Chinese managers who were open-minded and had gotten some form of management training. We were looking for individuals who were experienced at operating in China and yet were familiar with how the rest of the world operated and knew where China had to go. So between 1997 and 1999, we recruited a whole team of new China managers, typically mainland Chinese who had worked for multinationals, and as these managers came on board, we began one by one to replace the old China managers at our companies. Today, Asimco has sales of about $350 million a year in auto parts from 13 Chinese factories in 9 provinces. The company sells to customers in the United States, and it also has 36 sales offices throughout China servicing automakers in that country, too. From this base, Perkowski made his next big move, taking the profits from offshoring back onshore in America. In April of 2003, we bought the North American camshaft operations of Federal Mogul Corporation, an old-line components company that is now in bankruptcy, said Perkowski. We bought the business first to get access to its customers, which were primarily the big three automakers, plus Caterpillar and Cummins. While we have had long-standing relationships with Cat and Cummins, and this acquisition enhanced our position with them, the camshaft sales to the big three were our first. The second reason to make the acquisition was to obtain technology which we could bring back to China. Like most of the technology that goes into modern passenger cars and trucks, people take camshaft technology for granted. However, camshafts, the part of the engine that controls how the pistons go up and down, are highly engineered products which are critical to the performance of the engine. The acquisition of this business essentially gave us the know-how and technology that we could use to become the camshaft leader in China. As a result, we now have the best camshaft technology and a customer base both in China and the U.S. This is a very important point because the general impression is that offshoring is a lose-lose proposition for American workers, something that was here went over there, and that is the end of the story. The reality is more complicated. Most companies build offshore factories not simply to obtain cheaper labor for products they want to sell in America or Europe. Another motivation is to serve that foreign market without having to worry about trade barriers and to gain a dominant foothold there, particularly a giant market like China's. According to the U.S. Commerce Department, nearly 90% of the output from U.S.-owned offshore factories is sold to foreign consumers. But this actually stimulates American exports. There is a variety of studies indicating that every dollar a company invests overseas in an offshore factory yields additional exports for its home country, because roughly one-third of global trade today is within multinational companies. It works the other way as well. Even when production is moved offshore to save on wages, it is usually not all moved offshore. According to a January 26, 2004 study by the Heritage Foundation, Job Creation and the Taxation of Foreign Source Income, American companies that produce at home and abroad for both the American market and China's generate more than 21% of U.S. economic output, produce 56% of U.S. exports, and employ three-fifths of all manufacturing employees, about 9 million workers. So if General Motors builds a factory offshore in Shanghai, it also ends up creating jobs in America by exporting a lot of goods and services to its own factory in China and benefiting from lower parts costs in China for its factories in America. Finally, America is a beneficiary of the same phenomenon. While much attention is paid to American companies going offshore to China, little attention is paid to the huge amount of offshore investment coming into America every year, because foreigners want access to American markets and labor just like we want access to theirs. A Simco will use its new camshaft operation in China to handle the raw material and rough machining operations, exporting semi-finished products to its camshaft plant in America, where more skilled American workers can do the finished machining operations, which are most critical to quality. In this way, a Simco's American customers receive the benefit of a China supply chain and at the same time have the comfort of dealing with a known American supplier. The average wage of a high-skilled machinist in America is $3,000 to $4,000 a month. The average wage for a factory worker in China is about $150 a month. In addition, a Simco is required to participate in a Chinese government-sponsored pension plan covering healthcare, housing, and retirement benefits. Between 35 and 45% of a Chinese worker's monthly wage goes directly to the local labor bureau to cover these benefits. The fact that health insurance in China is so much cheaper because of lower wages, much more limited health service offerings, and no malpractice suits certainly makes China an attractive place to expand and add employees, explained Perkowski. Anything which can be done to reduce a U.S. company's liability for medical coverage would be a plus in keeping jobs in the U.S. By taking advantage of the flat world to collaborate this way, between onshore and offshore factories and between high-wage, high-skilled American workers close to their market and low-wage Chinese workers close to theirs, said Perkowski, we make our American company more competitive, so it is getting more orders and we are actually growing the business. And that is what many in the U.S. are missing when they talk about offshoring. The advantages for manufacturing in China for certain industries are becoming overwhelming, added Perkowski, and cannot be ignored. Either you get flat or you'll be flattened by China. If you are sitting in the U.S. and don't figure out how to get into China, he said, in 10 or 15 years from now, you will not be a global leader.